the study arose from just an initial interest in trying to understand how the general skills that military officers acquired during their service might translate into their CEO roles. But as we were looking at the interviews that Toby conducted, which were fantastic, and speaking with people, other people we know in the services, increasingly it was apparent that I think just grouping military service into sort of a monolithic entity probably wasn't necessarily the only way to examine it, that there are significant differences across the services and that these different experiences would actually translate into different skills that might or might not be more useful in, depending on the corporate environment. And so when we started to look at it through that lens, we essentially said, okay, let's think about the operating environment that an officer faces in the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air Force or the Navy. What are the skills that they are likely to acquire there, and how might that prepare them well for the challenges of corporate environments in different industries?
Professor, one of the really interesting parts, because I've seen a lot of studies saying, okay, you know, the experience you have in the military can work very well as a CEO because there's a lot of leadership and being put in circumstances where you may not control all the environment. So you learn to be very agile. What you guys managed to do was really go a level below that. And guess what? Different services, their real expertise and different expertise.
Right. No, I mean, Chris, I think you are right on the money, and on this, it's kind of what we describe is almost like situational leadership, right? And we have done additional work looking, for example, at people who left General Electric and become CEOs of other companies, and turned out to be that some of them were successful, some of them were not, and it all depends on the seat, right? Whether the skills and competences that you develop in another place, you have an opportunity to apply them in a new situation that you entered. And very similar with the research on military officers, you know, we acquire skills and competencies when we actually serve in a particular or work in a particular organization, and the more opportunities we have to apply those skills in another setting, the faster and the more successful we become.
Toby Johnson, you're a former U.S. Army captain, an aviator. You now work at Pepsi, right? PepsiCo?
Yeah.
And you did a lot of interviews talking to folks, but I want you to talk about your particular experience. How did you go from one side to the other? There has to be a little bit of adjustment.
Well, there definitely is an adjustment, but as Boris was just saying, there's a lot that translates, and I think for me that's what really interested and sparked the beginning of this study. I had the great opportunity to interview several CEOs, 12 CEOs, who had gone from a similar experience like I did in the military, transitioned into corporate America, and in their cases were extremely successful. So I wanted to hear from them, and it was really inspiring to hear them talk about how important those formative years were for the rest of their careers. Now, I'm obviously at a very different place in my career than they are, but if my thinking was there was a lot to learn from that and to put importance on the nuanced experiences that the military offers. And when you're going through those experiences and in the formative years of your life, it really does impact the kind of leader and professional that you will become. So, I'm hoping that this study and experience will give me some perspective on myself, even though obviously I'm in a different place. So it's hard for me to comment on how it will impact the entire arc of my career and the way that it will them.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about some of those lessons that folks share with you, because most of our audience, government folks, and even within government, sometimes there's I don't want to say underestimation, but it almost doesn't come to mind about this experience and this leadership qualities that the amount of training that goes into military leaders.
Oh, I would say some of the most impactful conversations that I had, one was really about the leadership experiences that some of these corporate leaders had at very young ages, where they were leading soldiers in combat, they suffered casualties and had to make decisions in those environments, and really a lot of stories that paralleled the findings that are reflected in the article. You know, from that standpoint, talking about the leadership elements that translate to the Army and Marine Corps CEOs that we studied, and then, you know, also there was findings around the discipline and process, particularly from the other sides of the branches, that you know, when you're faced with situations at a very young age where there's a real microscope on making the right decision, yeah, and the impact that you have, that stays with you for forever. And in the case of these CEOs, what struck me not only were the stories, but the passion of which they talked about these experiences, you know, some were 20, 30 years old, the experiences that they were recounting, but, you know, it was something that they really seemed to relish in sharing. And when they talked about their view on their organizations, you could tell how much they were shaped by those experiences. I always say that my experience in the military was really an education in people, yeah, and I think that rings true with what I heard from the executives with which I spoke.
Well, and one of the things that I think the military does so well is they make that connection, the mission very clear, and the leaders understand everybody needs to be tied into that mission in some way, shape, or form.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, we're talking to Toby Johnson. She is a former U.S. Army captain, aviator. She's now an executive at PepsiCo. We're also talking to Professor Boris Groysberg. He is a professor at the Harvard Business School. And Andrew Hill, he is a doctoral candidate at the Harvard Business School. And we're talking to them about their piece in the Harvard Business Review, which of these people is your future CEO, and a lot of military folks. And Andrew, I want you to go into and just quickly almost delineate out, because one of the fascinating parts of this piece is that the Army is different from the Marine Corps, is different from the Navy, is different. There are different skills that folks bring, aren't there?
That's right. And in fact, I mean, one of the conversations we had as we were writing it was how much should we simplify this? So we actually grouped the Army and the Marine Corps and the Navy and the Air Force together. We had some debate about that, but at sort of the level that we were exploring, we felt like that was very appropriate. And the broad distinction that we made was a systems versus a people difference. So in the Army and in the Marine Corps, we felt that based on our conversations, you know, success really depends on flexibility, adaptability within overall order, sort of the intent of the commander. But in the Navy and in the Air Force, you really don't want people making too many sort of deviant decisions down the line because of how complex the systems are. I mean, there's a story that involved Senator McCain on the USS Forrestal when there was that terrible fire during the Vietnam War, and it all emerged from a fairly simple, small decision, a small change in the operating procedure on the flight deck that essentially led to the deaths of over 100 sailors. And you know, they're complex and there's so many interdependencies. You really want high reliability. And so that was really where it all started, sort of making that broad distinction between the two services. And the other thing I think that's important is that we didn't want this to be a comparison across the services to the extent that we were saying, oh, you know, you are better if you served in X service and worse if you served in Y. In fact, really what we were doing was analyzing just within the service background what types of firms were better matches for those types of veterans.
Professor, is there a broad lesson learned that somebody can take from your research?
So, Chris, I think this is relevant to our business, and we have actually shown this in other settings that you know, kind of skills acquired in one organization work the best if they are matched to what the organization is actually wants. I think they're also kind of applicable to government. You know, if you look at overall kind of hiring decisions in business as well as government, in many cases you have senior people who basically have a position open, and they say, just give me the best person, right? The board of directors are looking for the best CEO. In many cases, they look at GE, right? I mean, there are a number of Goldman Sachs people who actually serve in government. I think a more nuanced and, kind of hiring strategy, and a hiring strategy that we believe is going to create better matches and subsequently better performance, is when you look at the job and you say this job requires certain type of competency, certain type of skills. You can have, two or three or as many as you want candidates for this job, and they will all have very different type of human capital.
Yeah.
And being able to assess what that individual has and whether it's actually a good or a bad fit for that particular job is very important. So I think what our research kind of suggests that whether you're in government or whether you're in business, right, when you're making hiring decisions and with, we increase mobility that our economy is experiencing, is those decisions are going to become more and more important and more impactful. I think those executives and managers have to be really strategic and thoughtful about the different type of human capital that people that they're interviewing possess, and try to create as many matches and try to eliminate, mismatches. And I hopefully that kind of our article is at least is going to, somewhat help them to make better decisions.
Toby, let me ask you, because you've actually seen this world from both sides. You've been in government and you've been out there in the quote unquote real world. And in your conversations, were there some tidbits, some morsels that you almost wished you'd had when you were in government, when you were in the Army?
I think that as you go through life, you always learn more and you wish you could reapply it to an earlier stage. So,
if only we had that time machine.
Yeah, so certainly. I think the biggest learning for me is not so much that I want to go back and rewind the clock and do things differently, but helping to crystallize some of the lessons that you've learned or to think about, how that's going to benefit you in the future. And I think, the biggest thing for me when serving in the military was it really became all about the people on the right and left of you and how you were meeting their needs. And I think the fit from the opposite direction to what Boris is talking about as the employee that's going into a firm, I think that can be applied as well. And that's been an important lesson for me, because the fit that I felt coming into PepsiCo, it was sort of surprising because I didn't know how that would be, but it really still is about the people on the right and left of you and how well of a fit it is for you as an employee. So I think that's been a great learning for me, and how important it is to have that great fit from the employee's perspective as well.
Talk a little bit as you're looking forward, because it seems like there's a lot of other areas you can look into, aren't there?
There definitely are, because I think particularly people who are in services that were deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq in the last 10 years versus other services. I mean, I think I don't want to diminish the contributions of any members of the armed services, but if you're making a transition to the corporate sector, I think we're particularly interested in how combat experience is going to affect their careers and how well they fit into different environments. And I think that's an important social question as well. I mean, there are significant costs to serving in combat. Toby, I think, can speak with authority on that subject.
Yeah.
And it's important, I think, to understand what are the costs, what's been gained, and how does that translate into the corporate environment? Because I think this is a group of people who've served our country tremendously. And, we, I think, are really interested in trying to understand how they can sort of continue to be productive throughout the rest of their careers.